In the studio with me today, I have Susan Wardrip. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello. And also, we have Dr. Eloy Hoopman here. Welcome to KHSU. Today, we're going to talk about immunizations for children. And it's coming up for school starting, right? And that's a big reason for kids to get immunized. So, and there's also, we're going to talk starting with the Senate Bill 277, right?
Yes, SB or Senate Bill 277 passed last July, and it went into effect January 1st. And it says that there are no more personal or religious beliefs exemptions allowed in California for school entry. Students who are already enrolled were grandfathered in, and the checkpoints are at TK or transitional kindergarten, and right before seventh grade entry, when students need to be brought up to date on their immunizations.
And so we're talking to parents today.
Yes, it's really important to start early. There are about five vaccines that children need to be enrolled in school, and they are in a series, so it can take up to 6 months to complete the series. So it's a good idea to not wait till the day before school starts, because schools are not allowed to enroll children who are not either up to date or at least as up to date as they can be to get into school.
And that has to do with the Senate bill.
That's correct,
right?
SB 277, yes.
And so if parents arrive to school with their child not immunized, they probably have to have paperwork, right? I would assume.
Right. They need to bring a record of the child's immunizations and them to be up to date or in process. And then they would be admitted conditionally, which means no shots are due today, because since they're a series, say for the hepatitis B, for example, a child would get a vaccination, a month later they would get another one, and 6 months later they would get the third one. So if the time has not come for the next one, they can go to school. But if there are shots currently due, they are not to be allowed into school.
Okay, so what should parents do to find out if they're due now? Like, how do they do this? I'm not a parent and I don't know, so.
So children start getting immunizations at 2 months, again at 4 months, again at 6 months, and then after the first birthday. That's called the primary series.
Okay.
Then they get immunizations again right before school entry at age 4 to 6, before kindergarten starts. So those children are pretty well immunized. Parents who have not immunized their children or delayed the immunization for various reasons, can get caught up in about 6 months if they diligently follow a program with their healthcare provider. So the first thing all parents need to do is have a conversation with their healthcare provider about where their child is on the schedule and how they can meet these requirements.
Okay. Dr. Hoopman, what part do you play? Do you do the immunization?
Well,
itself?
Right. I would first say that most of the immunizations are either administered by a nurse or a medical assistant in our clinic, and I think that's true for most pediatric clinics. So you kind of don't want to get your shots from the doctor, because we're not very practiced at it.
Really?
But we do help. My goal for all families in Humboldt County would be that they get good counsel. Mm-hmm. You know, I just want people to begin the conversation. If they don't have a provider, to find one. Mm-hmm. If you do have a provider, come in with your concerns. There is a little more room left for liberty at this time, where people can decide, well, instead of doing so many shots in one day, I'd like to come in and do three different visits in order to get ready for the school year. And that's now to come in and get that started. Mm-hmm. I want to protect the access to education for children, and I want to protect parents' sense of obligation to safety for their children and their relationship with their provider. And all of those things seem to happen when talking with a provider one-on-one primarily. So my goal so far, and the reason for doing this segment, is to encourage people to have a relationship with a provider and come in and discuss, and then also, you know, find ways in the county to get more kids immunized in order to allow them to attend school. And that's
right.
This law is pretty straightforward, and there's not a lot of wiggle. Medical exemptions were a part of the previous law on the standard. The way that the law is written now, medical exemptions are few. Mm-hmm. Will be written by primarily specialists who are dealing in the immune compromised and complex child. Often, for example, open door, our pediatricians and generalists such as myself, I do family practice. Mm-hmm. We are not writing medical exemptions, and they would come from the specialists who see those children typically in the city, San Francisco or mm-hmm. Davis in Sacramento. So this, you know, it is a very different law than what's been on the books before.
Okay.
And so this goal of this season is to help parents really understand that is a timely thing and to find access.
Okay. And about how many children right now in Humboldt County are actually up to date and immunized? Do you know?
Yes, about 82% of children are ready to go to school. Mm-hmm. So we do have some children who are not fully immunized, and we really want to focus on helping those families find a way to meet their goals to be able to go to school.
So what do you think some of the holdups are with the parents? Because, you know, there were controversies about what you're injecting into the child and, you know, aren't they viruses and are they active? And
there's multiple layers,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
And it's true that, you know, barriers to people getting immunizations, you know, the first one I want to talk about would be more of a systems thing, which is that, you know, everyone knows that access to medical care in rural America is difficult, right? Okay, with kids in California, we have a lot of coverage, and we have, at this time, I know that UIHS and Open Door, as well as Eureka Peds, have openings each day for children to get immunization-only visits, depending on the status of your child. So calling would be the very first thing to do. Mm-hmm. For those families in areas that have less pediatric providers, so I'm sorry, I should have included Redwood Pediatrics, which is down in Fortuna, also has immunization-only visits available. So, you know, as we're talking about access, there is that barrier to finding a doc and getting a spot. I want to specifically bring up the fact that during the month of July, Open Door has clinics available for people who desire immunizations for their children, that they can come to even if their children are not patients of Open Door.
Oh, good.
And the goal is that we don't want immunization access to be a barrier to education. And so that, from Open Door's perspective, that's something that we're making happen. And I think it's a system barrier. Mm-hmm. There is that. But I would say probably the larger piece, probably in that, you know, the people remaining out of that 82% who are not immunizing or are immunizing on an altered schedule enough to not meet the criteria for attendance, mm-hmm. is concerns related to the age at which vaccines are given, the amount of vaccines that are given, and what are the adjuvants or additives in the vaccines themselves. And so when I'm in the room with patients, I spend a lot of time talking about those three things. Specifically, when I'm talking in the first year of their baby's life, they get a little bit, you know, worried about why we're doing and how we're doing it and all those things. I think I'm going to go down those 3 points, if that's mm-hmm. okay, Katie.
That's
okay.
Fine.
So the very first thing would be the age of the child, how small they are. Why would we be giving shots so early? It's because it's their most vulnerable time, and it's when they're vulnerable to diseases, so I need them to be stronger, that their immune system is built to learn very quickly and very well these proteins that I'm giving them. And in the first year of life, there is no attenuated or weakened viruses given to children. It's all proteins. We call those antigens. So antigen is the protein that the body would remember and then attack later, often the shell around a bacteria. So back in the day when I got my shots, they were very strong. So people will say, you know, when I got my vaccines, there was only 8, and now there's 32, or whatever the numbers are. I'm sorry, I don't have those ready, but that they've increased in numbers, and it looks very intimidating. Well, the reason is because they're safer. So the amount of antigen, or foreign protein, that was in a shot in the 70s and 80s was much higher, and we made some kids have a reaction to the vaccine.
Okay.
So we made them safer. We kind of dumbed them down a little bit. So now we have to quiz the body over and over again. So it makes the number of total shots look like a lot, when in fact the amount of antigen put into the child's body is much lower. So we made them safer, but now we have to repeat it and repeat it for the body to remember. So that's the answer to the age and then the number of shots.
Because mm-hmm, you space it out, you just...
Yeah, and you just keep going and going, like a quiz.
Uh-huh.
But then we also are recommending multiple shots in one visit.
Ooh.
So this is what gets folks too. They say, well, why can't I just do one at a time? And of course, you're the parent. You do have liberty and choice. And that is true regardless of this law. So again, I need you to have a relationship so you can walk through these things with your doctor. But the reason for combining or bundling these immunizations all at the same time is, well, if your child's immune system is awake and listening to what I've given them, a protein that I want the body to remember, it's easier and more effective to remember multiple proteins at the same time. It's like the body woke up and is remembering these proteins and getting antibodies to them. So if I give multiple at the same time, they're more effective when given together. And that just goes against kind of the parental intuition, which is my baby is precious. I don't want to cause them pain and I don't want to do a lot to them. And so I think that kind of brings me to my next piece, which is about fears.
And that's the parental fear.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So
to protect your child.
Yeah. I'm a parent. I got two kiddos. They were immunized. I still hate shot day. It makes me nauseous. I get a crazy look on my face and bad sweat. You know, I don't like it. They get their shots. Someone else gives them to them. But, you know, it's that on an emotional level, I don't want to cause my children harm. That's really important to me. But on a rational level, on a fact level, I understand and embrace the safety and effectiveness of immunizations. Immunizations are the safest thing I do in medicine. Just straight up. Well-studied, safe, safe, safe. Provide protection for children. So that's important to me. And emotionally, both are true for me in the room with my kids. I know it's good. I know they're going to do it. And I still really don't like it. And it still happens. So it's that acknowledging that fear that parents have is what that conversation with a doctor should be about. Like, are you really, is it the number, is it the timing, or is it the adjuvants that are added to the immunization that makes you anxious? Because to not acknowledge the fears is to then make a barrier between the provider and the parent. And it gets complicated pretty fast.
Does it?
You know, I think probably the most complicated thing would then be adjuvants or additives to the immunizations. And this would be, you know, of the three barriers. I think this is a big one. So I just want to bring up why it's confusing. For many years, preservatives, and some are still used in the United States, California pays for the federally designated monies that come to purchase immunizations are used very well by California. These immunizations are single dose, meaning that they have less additives or adjuvants and are often preservative free. Preservatives I want to talk about very specifically because there was a preservative used prior to 2006, so 10 years ago, which had thimerosal, which was a mercury-based preservative that is no longer used in any immunization for children in the United States. The things that are added are adjuvants to help the proteins be better memorized by the body. Because I was talking about how they're a small amount of antigen and we want the body to remember it. So we add two ingredients, depending on the formulary of the company that makes it, to increase the body's attention, to cause a reaction in the body, locally, in the muscle itself. One is trace amounts or a few parts per million aluminum or a few parts per million formaldehyde. So these two ingredients are the things that are probably the ones that cause the most fear for parents.
Formaldehyde.
When you're talking about preserving your baby in a bottle on a, like a jar on a counter, that's not what we're talking about. The body makes formaldehyde in the processing in each cell. The engine of each cell creates trace amounts of formaldehyde. It's something that the body is used to seeing and recycling. The same is true with aluminum. Aluminum is a trace mineral present in our body, present in our food. One cup of green tea has over 200 times the amount of aluminum that a single vaccine has. It's not that you're going to give your kid green tea, just an example of the fact that aluminum is around us at all times and is a part of our body. So both formaldehyde and aluminum are very quickly recycled. And the body, like, knows what to do with it. So it sees a little aluminum, sees a little formaldehyde, gets to business, recycles those up, and at the same time is more likely to see the proteins floating in the blood and cause immunity. I mean, have an immune reaction that kids will remember.
Great explanation. Thank you so much. Guess what? We're out of time.
Oh, no.
I know the time flies by. I'm sure parents are out there. If they have questions, because you explained things very clearly. Yeah. I'm wondering, can they call either of you? And how do you want parents who are listening right now, contemplating this, what do you want them to do? Who do they contact?
Contact your medical provider.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Okay. First, contact your medical provider, and you can call me at the health department at 268-2108. That is our clinic line, and they'll try to find me, or you can leave me a message, and I will call you back.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I know we had other questions, but I think, Dr. Hoopman, you did a really good job explaining to the parents, and also, Susan, thank you so much as well, what's in the shots and why and how it's changed over the years. But I'm sure that they might have more questions that we didn't get to. So thank you so much to the two of you.
Thank you.